Here's the news in 60 seconds from yumadailynews.com. In a recent study from the Arizona Health Department, it appears 30,000 people in Arizona have died from COVID-19. The study shows over 4 million residents have been fully vaccinated. Learn more about the study, yumadailynews.com. Construction on I-10 has been happening after Governor Ducey signed a bill for $400 million. Ducey said it's a delivery of promise to fix Interstate 10. Read more about the bill on the website. With summer just around the corner, it appears Lake Powell's water elevation has been at 4,000 feet. That's the lowest the lake has been since the 60s. Officials say there's a number of concerns for public health and safety. Read more about the lake, yumadailynews.com. A 15-year-old boy has been shot and killed in Yuma. An 18-year-old boy was also shot. Both suspects have been charged with first-degree murder. Get more information, yumadailynews.com. Follow us on Facebook at Yuma Daily News for the latest local and state news in Yuma and in Arizona. That's the news for now. I'm Kendra White.
Very warm, very dry. That is the best way to describe our weather. Triple-digit heat today, 100. 102 tomorrow, starting to cool Sunday. 94 Sunday.
If you're a valued customer, you deserve a simple gesture of appreciation from your credit card company. And that's why Discover matches all of the cash back you've earned at the end of your first year. Discover. Exceptionally common sense. Learn more at discover.com/match. Limitations apply.
I'm meteorologist Terry Smith from the Weather Channel.
Grown-ups devise a plan and follow it. Children do what feels good. Take responsibility for your family's future and get your estate in order. Call my friends Sean Garner and Adam Hansen, attorneys at the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen. Sean and Adam believe in giving free education to help people make smart decisions about their assets and leave a legacy for their family that they can be proud of. Schedule a consultation today. Visit YumaEstatePlanning.com.
The opinions voiced in this show, Money Talk, are for general information only and not intended for specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, financial advisor, or tax advisor prior to investing. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors.
Hey Yuma, this is Money Talk. Tom Rush here, George Davis with Yuma Investment Group. Good morning, George.
Morning, Tom. Happy Friday out there, Yuma. Our number here is 344-5258, 344-KBLU. You got any questions for me and Tom looking at your financial status, then give us a call. How you doing, Russ?
I'm doing well, man. There's Excellent. A lot going on in the country, but...
There's a lot going on. For chaos to rule, all we need is for good people to do nothing.
Yeah, well, I'm sitting around crying.
You're one of the good guys, Russ. Yeah,
so as most people might know, the market's been having a tough year to date. We come up with some numbers here. But the last week or so, things have kind of pulled back. Now, just to put things into perspective a little bit, first quarter of 21, the GDP number came in at about a 7.5% growth. And then by the end of the year... So fourth quarter of 2021, it was at 2.5% growth, positive. And then they came out with earnings about a week ago, and they were down about 1.5%. So we're sitting at about a 1% growth. So I guess we're not negative. But I think things are not, you know, going back up in the other direction. And that's mm-hmm. where I think the market is, you know, I know these analysts come out and say, there's a 20% chance of recession, or there's a 10, there's a 20. Yeah. I think the latest one I read was like, I think I read 38 somewhere.
That's all?
Yeah, well, you know, it's a guess. But anyways, that's saying the numbers are getting more, might not come back as quick. And the bottom line to that is there's an inflation issue, and naturally pulling money out of people's pockets for food, gas, and room and board is, you know, they have less money to spend. There's a supply side issue with... you know, mainly with things coming from overseas. And I know China's done a recent lockdown for a couple of weeks, 3 weeks or longer. Supply side issue. And then there's the supply side issue to do with the Ukraine war and Russia and all that. So, the million-dollar question is, where are we going to be in the second quarter of this year, third quarter? And if we have two negative quarters of GDP, when a recession?
Right.
I mean, that's... Mm-hmm.
Definition of recession.
So the interesting thing about that is, you know, depends on where your funds are at, but the last time we had a recession was in 2011, so it's been a while. And then I looked at the history from 1949 to present on the recessions, and there was three of them with inflation periods. So one was the late 69, market dropped for 20 months, the S&P, and it dropped like 21%, it was in the 30% range. Then it dropped in the middle of the mid-70s with the oil embargo and that. And that dropped for like 19 months. And that was like 30-some percent. And then in the early 80s, it dropped again when Reagan got into office. We had high inflation. And that dropped for like... So the average downturn is about 19 months on the downturn.
Yeah.
And if you have a recession and inflation, it's like adding salt or dirt to a wound. It will heal, but it just takes longer. So we're kind of going on 4 months of a down market, and historically, if we hit a recession with inflation, we could be seeing up to 19 months. So we could have another 12 to 14 months of this. So I'm telling people, buckle up. I mean, I don't think this is going to be solved too quickly. Now the ideal situation is COVID's kind of over with, at least telling people to stay home and. Travels up and all that, and I think people want to go out and spend money. Now, credit cards people are creatures of habit, so they don't just stop on a dime because inflation's costing them more. They usually put things on credit cards, and that kind of coasts for a while, and then they realize, hey, I shouldn't be doing that. Then they start truly not buying stuff, like, going out to eat and buying extras. So, late summer, end of the year, I think the writing will be on the wall.
So a recent survey from the Wall Street Journal, Tom, gives the odds of recession now at 28%. And that 35% you were talking about was one from Goldman Sachs. So those are starting to go up. But if you're looking at the Fed hiking rates, which they're doing, and they've been telling us that we're going to do that for quite some time now. But actually, if you look at historically, whenever the Fed has risen rates or started hiking in rates, then after 1 year... the major indexes, the stock markets, are up 80% of the time. So, I know what you're saying about the recession. And if it's going to be this year, if they're going to cause a recession with the hikes this year, or if it's going to be next year. But I found that interesting that 80% of the time, the indices have been up. So,
yeah, also a lot. But you got to remember, too, like we've had one of the best 10 years in the stock market. A lot of these pullbacks were really short-lived.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, granted, the 08. The 2000 and 08 were the big ones, the internet bubble and the real estate bubble and the mortgage bubble. So, statistically, you can say that.
But. Well, that's all we have to go on. And then also we're looking at the inverted yield curve, too. So if you look at the yield curve when it inverts, that's a very good indicator of a recession. And a lot of people look at the 2 versus the 10-year, which did invert. And other people really focus on the 3 month versus 10 year, which has actually been positive. So, there's a lot of signs. I know it's difficult. It's difficult to predict a recession, and the numbers are going up. So, people can start. I think it's a great time to be planning in your portfolios, Tom. Start doing some rebalancing. Look at your financial plan. We have that Money Guide Pro financial planning software, and you can adjust your numbers for inflation. So when I have my clients come in, historically over the last 35 years, inflation has been 2.3, 2.4%, which is what it defaults to. But if you want to and your clients are concerned or people want to know, hey, what if inflation does stubbornly stay up into the 3-4 range, then you can adjust that on your financial planning and see how that scenario play out.
Yep. Now, here's interesting. The market, the S&P is down 13.4% year to date. I'm on my phone looking at it. Well, from all of 2020, all of 2021, the S&P did a 52% return. So for 2020, 2021, and now it's down 13%. So if you start looking at what the markets have done in the last 2 years, that's not, you know, we're still definitely, I mean, people have made money. They're not back in the, they haven't gave up the last 2 years of earnings, 20 and 21. But it also tells me, too, that, you know, earnings are still pretty high. And if we do hit a recession, you know, these things can tumble. You know, it's down 13. I mean, you know, it can go down another 13, or it can go down more. So there's definitely, you know, maybe some shoots that might look better, but you know, this thing could get uglier. Is where I'm looking.
Oh no, definitely, and that's a good way to put it in perspective, Tom, because people get, you know, climb the wall of worry, and there's a lot of negativity out there. I mean, let's face it, and it takes, you know, one thing for to go right, and one good, you know, bit of news, and the market reacts accordingly. I mean,
look at the NASDAQ. It's down 21% year to date, but the tech companies for 20 and 21 are up 93%. The tech sectors.
Okay.
So again, not optimal, but still, you know, if you do the math, you're still up about 70%.
Yeah. When you put it in perspective like that. So.
But anyways, I think that's the big unknown. The other thing is is what the Fed's going to do. We can talk about that when we take our break. But this is Money Talk, 5-6 a.m. 'Cause the flag still stands for freedom,
and they can't take. Derek Eggeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 180899, with Academy Mortgage, inspiring hope, delivering dreams, and building prosperity, where we help individuals and families build a foundation for their future by providing opportunities to obtain home ownership through unique products and services. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 3113, Arizona license number 0904081.
At Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management, they manage money for their clients differently from any other advisors in Yuma. Their way works in close alignment with their clients' goals. Yuma Investment Group is a fiduciary, obligated to put clients first. It's the highest standard for a financial advisor. Many advisors sell and buy investments that charge clients commissions on each transaction and make commissions when they make trades for their clients. Yuma Investment Group doesn't sell any commission investment products. They never earn commissions on trades. They have trading discretion on your accounts, so they're able to manage accounts on a daily basis without having to pick up the phone to get permission to buy or sell an investment. Yuma Investment Group fees are structured, so they do better when their clients do better. When it comes to helping clients pursue a comfortable retirement, they're clearly different. If you're retiring soon or need help with your portfolio, visit YumaInvestmentGroup.com to find out why investors like you switch to them. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor.
Derek Eggeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 180899, with Academy Mortgage, inspiring hope, delivering dreams, and building prosperity, where we help individuals and families build a foundation for their future by providing opportunities to obtain home ownership through unique products and services. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 3113, Arizona license number 0904081.
At Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management, they manage money for their clients differently from any other advisors in Yuma. Their way works in close alignment with their clients' goals. Yuma Investment Group is a fiduciary, obligated to put clients first. It's the highest standard for a financial advisor. Many advisors sell and buy investments that charge clients commissions on each transaction and make commissions when they make trades for their clients. Yuma Investment Group doesn't sell any commission investment products. They never earn commissions on trades. They have trading discretion on your accounts, so they're able to manage accounts on a daily basis without having to pick up the phone to get permission to buy or sell an investment. Yuma Investment Group fees are structured, so they do better when their clients do better. When it comes to helping clients pursue a comfortable retirement, they're clearly different. If you're retiring soon or need help with your portfolio, visit YumaInvestmentGroup.com to find out why investors like you switch to them. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor.
Hey, Yuma, this is Money Talk. Tom Rush, George Davis, Another great day in Yuma, Arizona. Not hot yet, getting sunny. Hope everyone has a good, safe weekend.
Yeah, it's a beautiful day.
So, you know, we're talking about what's going on. You know, the big decision or the big question is what the Fed's going to do. Now, the Fed came out at the beginning of the year and said, we're going to have to raise rates. First, it was like 3 to 4 times, and then it turned into like 4 to 5. I haven't heard 5 to 6, but yeah. Basically the Fed has raised rates 2 times this year. One was 1/4 point, one was 0.5 point. Yeah. Half a point came a couple days ago. So, Wednesday. You know, a lot of these financial people, because I get a bunch of newsletters and kind of read what the big firms are saying, a lot of them think that the Fed is already behind on raising rates quick enough so that inflation gets tampered. I mean, no one knows because it's you don't know till after the fact. But, you know, if they're not raising rates quick enough, then inflation's still going to be the problem, which is going to be the big bad wolf that just sucks money out of people's mm-hmm. buying power.
And not just the U.S., Tom, the whole world. Yeah. All the EU and all the different banks are behind the curve as far as raising rates is what they're saying. And a lot of it was due to COVID. I mean, they say COVID, but...
They
should have raised rates a year or two ago, but sure. They were so afraid because of COVID and the way it affected the economy that they would squelch it and, you know, a recession would start because of that. Now they are behind the eight ball.
So in my 28 years of doing this, I've never seen these numbers. So everyone listen closely. So the bond market, you know, when interest rates go up, the price of bonds drop.
Yep.
If you hang on to the bonds, they mature at firm maturity. You get your money back, assuming the company, you know, can give it back, which most of them can.
Called par.
So basically, over time, you would get your money back with bonds. You know, bad years in a bond market, and I'm not talking like high yield junk bonds, but just general bond market. You know, I've seen like a -3, -4 in a bad year. Well, we have the bond market this year is getting blown apart. I've never seen this before. Like, you know, some treasury tips ETFs are down like 7.5% year to date. And you know, historically, it's usually 3 to 4 in a whole year.
And those are tips, too. Treasury inflation-protected ones, too.
Some of the bond funds are down 9%. I mean, and these are like, I'm talking ETF stuff. Mm-hmm. So the bond market is having one of the worst plays that I've seen in my 28 years of remembering all this. So that's another factor because, you know, if you did run to safety, which would be bonds, and usually bonds hold up better, sometimes some of these bond funds are down equivalent to what the Dow's down. So one of the big questions we get is, you know, what do we do about that? Because no one likes to see safe investments get hit like that. So I tell people there's 3 things that can happen to the bond market. One is the economy can get better, and maybe with COVID, you know, and the supply sides, if they free up a little bit, economy could get better. But if the economy gets better, the bond market should show up better. And, you know, if it's down 7%, they should gain some of that back, half of that back, most of it back. So that's one scenario. The other scenario is the economy just goes sideways for a while, you know, 1 year, 18 months. And if the economy goes sideways and there's really no change, these bonds will continually start maturing because in a bond portfolio, you have hundreds of them, but some are maturing next week, some are maturing the week after. So when they mature, they get their principal mm-hmm. back. So time is on your side with a bond, mutual funds or ETFs, because they will eventually mature to principal. Now, the third scenario is we go into, you know, more of a recession and the economy gets worse. And again, if that happens, bonds should kind of become your friend. A, they shouldn't drop as much as the stock market. So that's a plus. Bonds also will give you some buying power, or I call it bullets in the gun. Some people call it dried powder, to go in and basically buy in the market when you think the market's at a low point. So ultimately, the bond market, and then what also happens if the market really pulls down is some degree people are like sheep, you know, they want to get out when they get hit, and when they get out, they usually gravitate towards bonds. So bonds should be a little bit more of a safe haven. So either of those 3 scenarios, market, economy gets stronger, economy goes sideways, economy gets worse, I think there's some reason to just sit tight in the bonds and see how this thing plays out. If that makes sense. Because I think the market has already assumed all these increases in rates, you know, 4 to 5 mm-hmm. increases. I think they just basically bond market reacted to all of them, even though they're not done yet.
Yeah.
because they probably know they have to get done. But so anyways, that's what we're seeing on our side. And
I like your number two one, Tom, with weight. And people also forget bonds are called also fixed income for a reason. So when bonds go down or interest rates go up, your yields also go up too. So they're paying an interest rate, and the rate does go up when the bonds go down. So while you're waiting, you're also getting an interest off of the bonds, waiting for them to mature. And whether you like Powell or not, I think he's very transparent. You know, he tells you ahead of time, this is what I want to do. I want to handle, inflation, and I'm going to cut rates. So I think he's done a pretty good job between, in my opinion.
The bigger question, you could be transparent and still get it wrong.
Oh, yeah.
So the bigger question is he ahead of the curve on having rates go up? And that's where I'm going to grade him.
Right.
Time would tell.
You think he's behind?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people saying he's behind. The rates, yeah. This should have all started quicker, sooner.
Yeah.
In the last, towards the...
Yeah. And the market's always a leading economic indicator. So I agree with you, Tom, that, those bonds have been down for a reason ahead of time. So I got a couple numbers for you. You were talking about them. This is as of May 2. The U.S. Treasuries are down 6%.
That's a year-to-date?
Year-to-date.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. The 30-year, the Ginnie Mae's are down 7.25. That's using the mortgage-backed securities. The U.S. aggregate, which is a good indicator of, all of them together, combination, down 9.5. Almost 10%, double digits. I've never seen that. You've been in the business longer than me.
Well, let alone for 4 months. I mean,
I know, just for 4 months. And then municipal bonds, which a lot of people rely on for tax efficient income, they're down 12.87, almost 13% in 4 years on the municipal market.
Yeah. It'd be interesting. I know that, the municipal bond market has had some good years, prior. So even though it's down 11%, but if you took a 3-year look back, it's still ahead of the game.
Yeah, but if people are looking for value, they're looking for value, in the stock market. And do we know if that's yet or not? No, and if there's a recession. But if you're also looking for value in the bond market and you need income or fixed income, there's some.
Well, that's an argument to say. It might not be bad to move some safer money, savings accounts or whatever, into the bond side. Because you're definitely getting a discount.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, will it get uglier? Who knows? But yeah, that's an argument, mm-hmm. which I think makes sense. So I think 2022 is going to be, by the end of the year, or late summer, we're going to pretty much have the writing on the wall on where this whole thing's going. The interesting thing is, and I can't stress this more because I read a bunch of stuff, but they think the food market's going to, prices are going to explode in the food area.
Oh, yeah, they're talking shortages even.
Now, I know people think, food's already gone up 20% or whatever. I mean, they're talking like another 20%, another 30%. And we can talk about the reasoning, but it's supply, demand. But mainly on the supply side, because the fertilizers are harder to come by.
Right.
And all that comes from China, and some comes from, I guess, Russia. So, you can't get production without fertilizer. And then the pesticide stuff's harder to come by because I talk to people around Yuma that do this.
Especially
and then that means the bugs get a percentage of the harvest.
Mm.
And then with the Europe, especially Ukraine being, top wheat one of the top wheat
so
producers,
Russia and, yeah.
potato
yeah.
and other areas. I'm not joking, but I told my wife, and she actually, for the first time, listened to me.
No.
I said, hey, next time you're at Sam's Club, pick up some bulk stuff, stuff that she cooks anyways. And
Beans.
Yeah, rice beans, little beans. Yeah. She likes these red beans or whatever. But you can buy, I don't know.
50-pound bag. There you go.
Yeah. And, when's the last time people talked about that? Well, during COVID, people kind of ran on toilet paper. And,
sure.
other things,
but
I mean,
they were worried about it.
But they've never done it due to the.
We haven't had that rush yet, but it's coming.
No.
There's going to become a scary point if we start seeing, we don't have beans, we don't have rice, we're out of this, we're out of that. Then people get panicked, and then
they hoard, and then you got more of an issue.
Yes, you do. Yep. Escalates from there.
I mean, I even talked to some restaurant owners in town, and they say, we don't even really want to serve chicken wings because. The prices have gone up. Like we don't even make any money on them. Like I don't know if you noticed, some of them pulled from their menu.
Or oh, really?
They say, the price of chicken wings for a point went up like I don't know, it was 30-40%.
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, like, you know, these guys are trying to make money. And if you tell someone, hey, you're going to get 12 wings for $20, that's just hard to swallow. Because it used to be, you know, $9.99 or whatever. But,
like a wing.
Yeah. So.
So I think they went to the thighs. So you got to start looking at
is that right?
Thighs. Yeah.
So the big thing is,
I like getting the bulk at Sam's Club. They have these really nice rotisserie chickens. And there for a while, they were out.
Look at George is getting hungry.
But if you weren't there by 2 p.m, then you wouldn't get your rotisserie chicken.
So, really?
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, this really affects a lot of people that are either on the verge of retiring. You know, I'm talking like, you know, 1 to 3, 1 to 4 years of retiring, or the ones that are retired and they don't have any source of income to, you know, they can't go out and get work hard, get more income. Those are the ones that should really have a plan on what to do. So, you know, it's kind of a moving animal, and no one has the answer on what to do, because it's, I give the analogy, it's kind of like farming. You know, you can do everything perfect and still have a bad crop.
Yeah.
You know, you have stuff that's not in your control. But what I do want to say is, when you retire, if you're retired or you're going to be retiring, the big thing is having enough income to draw on, assuming you have a 401k or something. So you just don't want to be drawing on a 401k if the market's down 20-30%, because it really, you know, eats away your nest egg quicker. So one of the things that we implement in our office is called the 4-bucket retirement strategy. A lot of people maybe never heard of that. But the theory is, well, we'll take a break, and when we get back, I'm going to go into more detail about the 4-bucket retirement strategy. This is Money Talk, 5-6 a.m.
At Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management, they manage money for their clients differently from any other advisors in Yuma. Their way works in close alignment with their clients' goals. Yuma Investment Group is a fiduciary, obligated to put clients first. It's the highest standard for a financial advisor. Many advisors sell and buy investments that charge clients commissions on each transaction and make commissions when they make trades for their clients. Yuma Investment Group doesn't sell any commission investment products. They never earn commissions on trades. They have trading discretion on your accounts, so they're able to manage accounts on a daily basis without having to pick up the phone to get permission to buy or sell an investment. Yuma Investment Group fees are structured, so they do better when their clients do better. When it comes to helping clients pursue a comfortable retirement, they're clearly different. If you're retiring soon or need help with your portfolio, visit YumaInvestmentGroup.com to find out why investors like you switch to them. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
Derek Eggeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 1808.99. With Academy Mortgage, inspiring hope, delivering dreams, and building prosperity, where we help individuals and families build a foundation for their future by providing opportunities to obtain home ownership through unique products and services. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 3113, Arizona license number 0904081.
At Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management, they manage money for their clients differently from any other advisors in Yuma. Their way works in close alignment with their clients' goals. Yuma Investment Group is a fiduciary, obligated to put clients first. It's the highest standard for a financial advisor. Many advisors sell and buy investments that charge clients commissions on each transaction and make commissions when they make trades for their clients. Yuma Investment Group doesn't sell any commission investment products. They never earn commissions on trades. They have trading discretion on your accounts, so they're able to manage accounts on a daily basis without having to pick up the phone to get permission to buy or sell an investment. Yuma Investment Group fees are structured, so they do better when their clients do better. When it comes to helping clients pursue a comfortable retirement, they're clearly different. If you're retiring soon or need help with your portfolio, visit YumaInvestmentGroup.com to find out why investors like you switch to them. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
Someone told me long ago, there's a calm before.
Welcome back, Yuma, AM 560 KBLU, Money Talk. George Davis and Tom Rush, and Russ Clark is here. So hope everybody's having a wonderful Friday. And we were talking about last segment about no inflation and restructuring portfolios and our 4-bucket strategy that we use at Yuma Investment Group. And Tom was mentioning some of the bond market that's been down, we haven't seen for years in our careers as far as the down markets. But some things listeners might want to know, Tom, is what if there is inflationary, well, there is inflation, but what does well during inflationary times? And I know you'll talk about this in the four bucket, but actually stocks do well during inflationary times sometimes, especially dividend payers or ones that have pricing power and strong earnings can do well during inflation. So not everything's just, oh my gosh, inflation, equities are just going to be down. Commodities do well.
I think if you get inflation plus recession, they're down. But if you just have some good inflation, it helps the market does all right.
Commodities do well in an inflationary environment too, and real estate too, which we've seen.
Oil's doing well right now.
Oil's doing well.
It's up 40% this year, and it's not showing any signs of letting down, especially with reduced supply.
Well, the high in oil was, you know, I think it was like, what, a month ago or so, was 123 a barrel?
Is 110 right now.
Okay, so it hasn't hit that high point again. But it can move quickly.
Oh, it has been.
What were you saying about the price of gas, Russ?
372 is the wholesale price today.
Three what?
372
is the wholesale price. What's the wholesale price mean?
That means that's where you buy it and then you have to ship it to another location and sell it.
So that's before
these guys get it.
It's, right.
Huh. So that's what the gas station owners get it for?
Kind of. Yeah, probably that plus transportation.
Sure.
You know?
Mm.
Everybody seems to think they make just a lot of money off that.
Gas?
Yeah.
Well, sometimes they can.
I mean, as prices go up, though, you would think your margins would kind of shrink.
But if you look at, say you pay $4.50 a gallon, how much of that goes as tax? Isn't it like 60 cents or some high number?
In our state, it's like 40.
And then
40 cents.
Federal, do they get any?
Federal's like 19. Ours is 19.
Yeah, plus so it's like 60 cents.
No,
so
yeah. It's 40.
Oh, 40 total?
So, because it's 19 something for feds and 19 for us. So.
Yeah.
40
okay.
cents.
But even though if you're looking
for wholesale 372, then you add all that other stuff to it. You know, it's
right. Perfect. Yeah. So
I mean, even at $4 a gallon, that's still a 15% tax that the gas station guy's not getting.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know.
So it's but it's going up right now. But so this money or this oil coming out of the reserve is keeping it down a little bit.
Yep.
But that's temporary, it's popping right back up. It's not going to hold. And it's limited. You know, the reserve is limited.
Yeah, well, that's why it's called a reserve.
Well, it's supposed to be for emergency. Now it's for political
problems. Hey, so I got a question.
You wouldn't say this is an emergency?
No.
So Trump filled the reserves when oil was almost at a bottom.
Yeah, because Biden had it down.
Yeah, but by them putting a million barrels back in a day, I believe they're doing, they're selling it at a high price, right? I mean, the government's making money on that, right?
No. The government already paid for it.
They just released it.
They just released it.
No, I know, but if you paid... If Trump paid $20 a barrel,
are they releasing it? I'm going to have to ask that question.
I'm pretty sure they're making money on it.
I'm going to have to ask that question.
Now, that's not their objective.
But if they were making money at it, then the price wouldn't go down. Because then it would just be oil.
But then it's still supply-demand. Right. If you have a cup of oil and now you have a cup and a quarter, I'm pretty sure they're not giving it away.
You're right. Well, they can't.
But wouldn't that keep the prices down?
You know, what keeps it down is supply. So even if they paid the market rate today of 370, but they bought it during Trump for 170, I mean,
that's interesting.
Could be a, you know.
Yeah.
But anyways, let's get back to the four bucket retirement strategy. And basically, if you're retired or you're going to be retiring, you want to protect your income. So say someone hypothetically needs $2,000 a month from their retirement account. And if you are too heavy in the market in a recession, you're pulling that out as the market drops, and it really sucks your money down quicker. So in bucket one, you usually that's your safest bucket. You know, we usually recommend an 80% bonds, 20% equity, which is our most conservative model. And you usually put about 2 years of income into that. So that means that money would supply you income for about 2 years. And then bucket two is a little bit more.
So bucket one would be the one, if you're taking income, that's the one you're drawing out of.
Yeah, and it would last about 2 years if you put 2 years of income. So if you need $2,000 a month, you know, that's $24,000 a year. You'd put about $48,000 into bucket one, which is a safe bucket for about 2 years. Then bucket two is a 3 to 5 year bucket, which means you're not touching it till year three, year four, year five. And that's usually about 60% bonds, 40% equity. But again, you would put 24,000 a year times three, uh-huh. math boy, you know what that is? That would go in a bucket, bucket two. But that
72. Whole,
but bucket one and bucket two would last 5 years. Ah. So that protects your income, and that protects, so you really aren't going to be drawing on, stock market money as it drops. And then bucket three is 5 to 10 year time horizon. And that's about 60% equity or stocks, 40% bonds. And then bucket four is more equity, but that's 10 years plus.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, it kind of behooves you if you have these buckets set up to make adjustments as you see fit. So hypothetically, if this market dropped, you know, pretty substantial, 25-30%, it might be worth it to rebalance some of these buckets, even though the time frame hasn't came up. But if you use a four bucket retirement strategy, in 10 years, that person's going to eat through bucket one, which means the money's gone, eat through bucket two, which is 3 to 5 years, gone, and after 5 to 10 years, bucket three is gone. So all those buckets are going to be gone, basically. So what you want to try to do is take the fourth bucket and basically have that, try to get that bucket to double in 10 years. So for a bucket to double in 10 years, you have to get a little bit more than a 7% return. Historically, in down markets, consecutive down market returns in the market, the 7% has been reached. Doesn't mean it will do it again. But basically, once that fourth bucket doubles, you can take half of it out, replenish bucket one, replenish bucket two, bucket three, and now you're back on another 10-year cycle. So, you know, a lot of times, if people want to rebalance back into the market when it's down a lot, you know, sometimes, you know, oh, it's down 25%, let's rebalance in, but it might drop 35%, it could drop 40. I mean, mm-hmm. did in 2008, it dropped 45%. So then you're too much in, basically. So there's some strategy there, and it's something you should probably talk to someone about to implement. If you're retired, living on your income, or you're getting pretty close to retirement, just so you don't get too beat up.
So if the market is down and you're rebalancing in, Tom, you might want to do a little bit at a time instead of just jumping all in and saying, I'm going to put, you know, this bond money or this dry powder like you talked about into the market. Let's say it's down 20-25%. Maybe put a portion of it in to see how it plays out. And then if it goes down further, you can put another little bit in.
Yeah, so that's called dollar cost averaging, and basically is putting the money into something at different intervals. And that way you don't know, you know, because you can say, hey, I want to move $60,000 from my bonds to the stock market with my 401k, but the market drops 25%. You move the 60, and then it could go down 35%. Mm-hmm. Then you're thinking, God, why did I do that? So if you do it in increments, it will lessen your risk, and it'll probably give you a better chance to find the bottom. So I 100% agree with that.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of times you just got to put your blinders on and come up with a plan, and then stick to the plan. Because a lot of times if people try to do this stuff day by day, a lot of times they don't want to make those decisions because they think, you know, things are going down the toilet. But, you know, Warren Buffett always said, buy when there's blood in the street, and no one wants to do that. But that's the time to do it, and you kind of got to, you know, emotionally, you know, have a plan and become unattached and implement the plan. You'll be amazed at how many people, are looking for that opportunity, but they want to put the money back into the market, and we see this a lot, once the dust has settled. Well, the reality is when this market goes down and it goes back up, even for 6 months, there's a lot of gain that could be made in 6 months. So, you know, a lot of times people wait too long to pull the trigger.
Mm-hmm.
So,
or like you were talking about with, following the crowd and people getting emotional with their money and they want to get out now. Because one of the toughest things, not tough, but one of the things right now, we're talking about the four bucket strategy, and the bucket one is 80% bonds or fixed income and only 20 equity. But people that are on fixed income and using that bucket are looking at their portfolio over the last, 4 months, and it could be down 6-8%. And that's something they're not used to. So if they get emotional and don't listen to an advisor or a non-emotional coach, like I call us, they could be, I'm just going to get out and sit in cash or something. And then when things recover, and the bond market could recover anytime, we don't know, get back in. So then you're selling low and getting back in when it's higher. So
are you recommending that? Or are you
no,
saying,
I'm not.
Yeah, don't get tied up in that. The other thing you can do to, you know, what most people should do anyways is have about 3 to 6 months of your living in some savings account. So, you know, I mean, if you're spending $2,000 a month, you know, maybe have 6 months of that, 18, maybe 20 grand tucked away.
Yep.
Because that could be your coaster money where you draw. You're not, like, the bond market's down right now. So even if you drew on bucket one, it's going to affect your numbers. But, you know, that the cash doesn't do that. So sad to say most Americans don't have enough in their savings account. So they.
Oh, but, no. They have their money on credit cards. In credit, and unfortunately, there's still a credit card balance.
I see you're looking at a Bitcoin thing over there, or maybe they put their money there.
Oh yeah, I was looking at Bitcoin a little earlier. I have a little bit in Dogecoin or something.
Yeah. But no, that's a good point, Tom. Because now, I mean, a lot of things going on, and you know, it's a time for we think it's a good time to be looking at your financial plan and doing adjustments like we're talking about. But also, it's a good time to look at your overall picture, whether it's health. You know, you talk about financial planning is kind of like working out, going to the gym. I may go and, you know, for a few days and start and then stop and be, okay, I did it. But the financial plan is an ongoing process. And there are some things, you know, you need to incorporate Social Security. And I know Social Security went up 5.9% in 2022 with the COLA. But they're also predicting that in 2023, with the cost of living adjustment on Social Security, it could be up 8.9%.
Yeah, but then I'd be curious where Medicare goes, because all that – a lot of those increases get put right back to Medicare.
Yeah, they do, but the amount that you're getting, the mathematics with what you're taking out, let's say it's $2,500 for Social Security, 8.9% of that compared to, you know, $2,300 on Medicare.
Yeah.
It just but doesn't – I understand what you're saying, but yeah.
So I guess I agree with what you're saying is bad situations can be an advantage for people.
Right.
And I give the analogy of – house goes in foreclosure, the banks can't get rid of it. Yeah, terrible for the person who lost the house, but the next guy stepping in can find a really good deal.
Mm-hmm.
So in our markets, things move around, and even when things get ugly, they're looking at, you know, half is glass full and not half glass empty.
Yeah.
There's some plays that can be made that could put you in a pretty good position. So,
well, even people that own houses right now, your house, I'm sure your house is substantially, but quite a bit higher.
My double wide trailer I live in.
Yeah, your double wide trailer is even up. So
those things have been going up in value. That's kind of amazing. It's never happened.
Hey. Yeah.
Hey, we'll take another break here. This is Money Talk.
Derek Eggeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 1808.99. With Academy Mortgage, inspiring hope, delivering dreams, and building prosperity, where we help individuals and families build a foundation for their future by providing opportunities to obtain home ownership through unique products and services. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 3113, Arizona license number 0904081.
At Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management, they manage money for their clients differently from any other advisors in Yuma. Their way works in close alignment with their clients' goals. Yuma Investment Group is a fiduciary, obligated to put clients first. It's the highest standard for a financial advisor. Many advisors sell and buy investments that charge clients commissions on each transaction and make commissions when they make trades for their clients. Yuma Investment Group doesn't sell any commission investment products. They never earn commissions on trades. They have trading discretion on your accounts, so they're able to manage accounts on a daily basis without having to pick up the phone to get permission to buy or sell an investment. Yuma Investment Group fees are structured, so they do better when their clients do better. When it comes to helping clients pursue a comfortable retirement, they're clearly different. If you're retiring soon or need help with your portfolio, visit YumaInvestmentGroup.com to find out why investors like you switch to them. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor.
Derek Eggeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 1808.99. With Academy Mortgage, inspiring hope, delivering dreams, and building prosperity, where we help individuals and families build a foundation for their future by providing opportunities to obtain home ownership through unique products and services. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 3113, Arizona license number 0904081.
At Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management, they manage money for their clients differently from any other advisors in Yuma. Their way works in close alignment with their clients' goals. Yuma Investment Group is a fiduciary, obligated to put clients first. It's the highest standard for a financial advisor. Many advisors sell and buy investments that charge clients commissions on each transaction and make commissions when they make trades for their clients. Yuma Investment Group doesn't sell any commission investment products. They never earn commissions on trades. They have trading discretion on your accounts, so they're able to manage accounts on a daily basis without having to pick up the phone to get permission to buy or sell an investment. Yuma Investment Group fees are structured, so they do better when their clients do better. When it comes to helping clients pursue a comfortable retirement, they're clearly different. If you're retiring soon or need help with your portfolio, visit YumaInvestmentGroup.com to find out why investors like you switch to them. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
Hey, Yuma, this is Money Talk. Tom Rush, George Davis, Yuma Investment Group. Our phone number here.
928-344-5258.
That's it.
KBLU.
344-5258. Yeah, 344-5258.
So we're talking a little bit about what's going on and strategies that people should be considering.
I find that answer interesting on the oil that we were talking about, though.
When they release the reserves, they just release it into the system and they don't charge for it.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they would defeat it. If price is too high and they're bringing the price down and they just charged, then what difference does it make?
Yeah.
So the question we're talking off air for the listeners was, you know, Trump replenished the oil supply at a very cheap rate, the oil reserves, and then Biden's releasing so much them. A day. And the question was, is Biden releasing it at a higher price because oil is up?
Yeah.
And we got the answer from a fact checker, and he said no, they give
that,
it away.
He said that would defeat the purpose. You know, he's right, yeah. We'll just add it to the So it's a gift. You know, and then when Trump bought it, he had to pay for it. These guys are giving it away.
Tax money that goes up in smoke.
Yeah, well, it's good to have that reserve, and it's really set up for emergencies and military. Time of war, if we got cut off, we have a reserve and all that kind of stuff.
I wonder how many spots have the reserve in. That has to be at least
4.
That's it?
Yeah.
You think they'd have like 12 or something in case someone wants to do something. But
there's 4, and they had to build them. They're trying to.
2 are in Texas, probably, I assume.
I don't know. I'm going to have to find out.
So anyways, there's a lot going on. One of the things to do, you know, is panic, but even like let's just say right now the S&P is down 14%, which it is year to date. And if someone was pretty heavy in the market and they could say, okay, what do I do? You know, there is some strategies that you can do if you want to implement the downside risk, and you just got to have a thought process and a plan to do. So I'm not saying, you know, everyone just stay in the market and take the punches in the face until this thing reverts back. But if you're close to retirement and in retirement, you probably need to have a conversation with somebody.
2 of them are in Texas. 2 of them are in Louisiana in storage. They're in like salt caverns.
Oh, underground, mm-hmm. Huh?
Oh, for where the reserves are held.
Yeah, that's where the U.S. reserves are. There's 4 of them.
I'm sure they keep them secret, though, don't they?
Yeah, they're right here. I'll show you the map.
That's what I'm thinking. Those guys never got taken out, it would be pretty tough, huh?
Well, they're underground. It'd be kind of hard to, I mean, I don't know if you could really hurt them. I mean, if you bombed them, they would just get like, ow. Depends. You know, they're not going to catch on fire.
They have a bunker buster going.
Yeah.
Jeez.
So what else we need to talk about, George?
Well, I kind of wanted to mention some college stuff I found, Tom, because a lot of parents are looking at colleges right now. Some kids are still trying to figure out where they want to go. I know my son got accepted to U of A, University of Arizona. I want to give a shout out there for all the Rotary clubs and U of A alumni and all the college alumni. There's a lot of, you know, people in the community that really step up and help kids that are wanting to go to college and further their education. And a lot of them can't do that without scholarships and you know, the money and awards that are given out by a lot of our nonprofits here in town and schools and alumni. So wanted to give them a shout out. So if you're interested and your child is still kind of looking to see which college to attend, I ran across this article on how to calculate the ROI, return on investment, of a college. So apparently people usually look at the U.S. News and World Report, and it's really not that great. So instead of looking at that, they have three different methods which are actually better to look at. And you'll find this interesting, Russ, because this article is kind of funny the way it says. The consumer site for families searching for colleges provide information on the earnings of graduates at individual college.
They want to see the end result. What are these students making, right?
Well, they want to see the end result from, you know, taking out loans and how much the college costs, what the return of investment is going to be.
Yeah.
Somewhere around 5 years and 5 year and 10 year. But apparently in 2018, the Trump administration began withholding that information. I didn't realize that. So some colleges, especially for-profit, didn't want earnings figures making them look bad. So you couldn't really get an accurate assessment of the return on investment from a college because apparently the Trump administration...
Yeah, I find it hard to believe. It could have happened during the administration, but it's probably a preset date by the people before him that said...
If a college is for-profit, well, I guess they're privately held. They don't have to...
Yeah.
See, most colleges aren't that private. I mean, they're...
Well, yeah.
Well, I mean, but they don't... This is saying basically,
is there any numbers on which ones were good?
Yeah. So these resources, return on investment resources that they're recommending here. The first one is Georgetown University Center on Education and the Workforce. And
this is all those jobs up in D.C. are probably.
This looked at intervals from 10 years after graduation to up to 40 years after graduation. And basically what it looks at is, how your return on investment is going to be. And some of the institutions, California State University, Colorado School. So this basically looks at...
Are those the top ones?
Yeah, well, the top ones, California State University, Massachusetts, Maritime Academy, you can imagine, Georgia State Technology. So you can look at this. It's called the Georgetown University Center on Education. Just Google that. And it ranks about 4,500 colleges and gives a return on their investment. So I thought that was pretty
interesting. What if they do junior colleges? Because I'm sure some of the junior colleges, believe it or not, you know, for how much money you spend to go to a junior college, because it saves you quite a bit of money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Interesting to see how they map out.
Yeah, it would be. So, and also, it also shows, I found this one interesting, Tom, an average of 60% of college students across institutions earn more than a high school graduate after 10 years.
Read that one more time.
An average of 60% of college students earn more than a high school graduate does after 10 years.
Yeah, which means you should go to school and make more money, right? That's the idea.
Yeah, exactly. But you can input that into this program, which is pretty neat. And show your kid, hey, look, this is the importance of a higher education.
So, yeah. You would think it'd be higher than 60%, but, you know.
But let's see, they had 1,233, more than half. Okay, so the other one's Foundation for Research on Equal Opportunity. And this one takes a look at financial value of degrees within an institution. So you can go to an institution and see which degree that your child chooses.
Best return on investment?
Yep,
that's
best
what
return
I'm
on investment. Best return on investment of which degree that child chooses.
Yeah, so you better work with them. So they can pay off their student loans. Well, that's right, you don't have to do that anymore.
So that one's called the Foundation for Research on Equal Opportunity. But some of the majors were kind of interesting. These ones you wouldn't be very surprised at, but Applied Mathematics was up there. And then they have things like Anthropology, Art. So it gives you an idea of the return on investment on which degree they choose. Okay. And the other one, the last one, is called Third Way. And this one...
So if you get like a degree like psychology, which my niece got one from NAU, and it doesn't really do much for you. I mean, there's not a a lot you can do with that. You have to get your master's.
Unless you become a doctor, a psychologist.
Well, yeah, you have to get
psychologist.
Master's.
Yeah, or, you know, doctorate degree and all that. That's another 7 years.
It shows
years.
That you had some tenacity to get a 4-year degree, mm-hmm. which probably counts for something. But
psychology can put you in a lot of social work.
Yeah.
That doesn't pay well.
Yeah, yeah. So, well, she's a bartender right now. If that
that'll be
you.
Good for a bartender. So. Psychology, yeah. That's great.
Figure out how to get more tips out of people.
That's right. And talk them into that last drink.
Well, this one actually gives you an actual numbers after so much time, how much they're going to make, like their return on investment. So
chemical
engineering
seconds.
Over $1 million.
You got like 30
of course,
seconds.
Civil engineering. So.
Are you listening to me, George?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Everyone, Yuma, have a great weekend. Be safe and enjoy. Happy Mother's Day, by the way. All the mothers out there, enjoy Mother's Day and spend some quality time with your mothers.
And if you want anything on these colleges, ooh, never mind.
The opinions voiced in this show, Money Talk, are for general information only and not intended for specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, financial advisor, or tax advisor prior to investing. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors.
From the 1 Hour Air Conditioning and Heating Studio, this is News Talk 560 KBLU, Yuma.